Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. If the tune from the band Slide before the break wasn't enough to tip you off, we will remind you that Milwaukee's Irish Fest returns for its annual run at the festival grounds on Thursday. And as is our habit, we'll feature a few of the bands playing there over the course of the week. While there will be music with an obvious Irish feel, the focus of this year's festival will also have a distinctly American sound. That's because many of the acts will spotlight how traditional Irish music evolved into the bluegrass sound we think of as native to Appalachia. It's a slice of ethnomusicology that fiddler Bruce Molsky knows very well. Molsky will teach courses all week in the Irish Fest Summer School about old-time fiddling. He'll also perform at the festival. He's considered the leading practitioner of the old-time fiddle tradition today. Earlier this year, Molsky and Swedish multi-instrumentalist Ale Muller came by the Lake Effect studio and performed several songs, including this one called the Nylon Set.
Bruce Molsky and Ale Muller, welcome to Lake Effect. That was great.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell me a bit about that set, please.
This was two polskas. Polskas is the dominating dance form in traditional music and dancing in Sweden. Three-part music, and there are various types of it, but this was the swinging ones that suits Bruce's fiddling so well.
It's fun. It's joyful music. It's happy music. It makes me want to dance, except that I'm busy playing the fiddle when I'm doing it, so that would be dangerous.
Now, how did you guys first meet? Now, you've been playing together quite a long time now, right?
We met, was it like, how many years ago, Bruce?
Oh, it's, I'm guessing, seven or 8 years ago.
We met at a festival in Sweden, and a friend of mine, a good fiddler, said, "You must go and hear that crazy American. He's really great."
And up walks the sky. Up walks the sky with this funny-looking instrument.
Yes, which, Ale, I'm hoping you'll describe, because it's a bouzouki, right?
Yes,
but it's
that kind
strings.
Of, you know, the fiddle is really a dominating instrument in our part of the world, in Scandinavia and all the Nordic countries. But I used to play Greek music, and I played an instrument called the bouzouki, the Greek bouzouki. And it struck me that this instrument actually could be really useful in our kind of traditional music as well. And so I sort of developed my own version of the Northern European bouzouki, the Celtic version. I call it a droned mandola. It's based on an octave mandolin, but it has several futures, extra frets, because especially the old fiddlers at home, they have intonation in between the normal keys of a piano, so to speak. So they could go.
Basically what we would call bending note.
Well, they're quarter tones, or note, we call them notes that fall between the cracks.
Yeah. Which is a good way of putting it.
A strange thing is that many of the fiddlers at home, the old ones, they call it blow tune, which means actually blue note. And in blues, they have the same expression.
We have the same thing. And it's great for me that you have those frets on your instrument, because I love to play those notes.
Yeah.
You just play them in a different way here, that's all.
And I have an extra bass string as well, and that is extended quite low down. And I've got small pinpoint capos, we call them, that I can move around in various places. So, because in Bruce's music, the old-time music, you use a lot of different tunings on the fiddle, mm-hmm. and so do we in Scandinavia. So I can follow all the different tunings, actually without retuning the instrument, but just putting all those small
places,
pegs
in
different places.
And when Ale and I, you know, we work our music out, and obviously we have different first languages, but finding the common language, which is really the reward for me in this music with him, is finding the phrasing and the subtleties of the rhythm and the intonation and the rises and falls in intensity, accent, punctuation marks. It all becomes spoken language at the end of it, you know.
When I first met Bruce, I haven't heard any old-time music, so I'm definitely not an expert on that music. But I've been playing with musicians from many parts of the world, from Africa, from India, and all over the place over many years. And more I find that it's not a matter of musical genres. It's a matter of finding the right personalities. Anyone, a musician who wants to, has a need for telling a story with his instrument, then you can play with that musician anytime, because it's so obvious what they are trying to tell me, no matter if it's sung or played on an instrument.
I care much less whether a person is playing to my set of traditional rules than I do to them playing the music and speaking to me and being really in the groove with it. That's where I want to go with it, you know.
Well, let's hear something else. Tell me what you're going to play for us.
Well, we're going to play a couple of American tunes. The first one was recorded by Charles Seeger at a penitentiary, actually, in the 1930s, by a guy named Papa Charlie Butler, who not very many, I mean, I haven't read very much about him, but it's Diamond Joe. It's just our kind of take on the song Diamond Joe. And then just kind of a hot dog version of an old favorite, Garfield's Blackberry Blossom. It's not the Blackberry Blossom that a lot of the bluegrass listeners will be familiar with, but an earlier kind of more modal version that we just like to do.
Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe. Went up on that mountain, gave my horn a blow. Thought I heard Miss Maybell say, yonder comes my Joe. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe. Ain't gonna work in the country, and neither for this farm. I'm gonna wait till my Maybell comes. She gonna call me home. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe. Ain't gonna tell no story, neither would I lie. When I let my Maybell stay, then she keeps on by. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe. Diamond Joe, where'd you find him? Diamond Joe, where'd you find him? Diamond Joe, where'd you find him? Diamond Joe. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, come and get me. Diamond Joe, my Diamond Joe.
Bruce Molsky and Ale Muller in Lake Effect's performance studio with Diamond Joe and Blackberry Blossom. Great, great stuff. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is your ability to both sing and really accompany yourself on the fiddle. Is that something that the old-time musicians in the Appalachians were able to do, or is that something that you developed? Because you're not just playing a little bit of boomchuck in the background. You're actually doing very complex, the way people on a bouzouki or guitar would accompany themselves.
Well, in the old-time traditional players, some of them did accompany themselves, but it was usually a very simple sort of accompaniment. And this is just something I've taken and kind of developed for myself. There are a few fiddlers in my generation that have kind of done similar sorts of things. I'm really into kind of creating rhythm. And I've been teaching this. One of the things I'm teaching at Berkeley is playing and singing. And it's all muscle memory. And the longer you do it, the more comfortable it becomes. But I kind of like complexity, and so I'm always kind of creating things for myself to do underneath the voice. And it's good exercise. Keeps my brain working.
Well, this also makes it very, very interesting to listen to, because harmonically there's so much going on.
Well, I'm a closet jazz buff, and I love moving chords. One of the things I love stepping outside of the box of old-time music is, you know, the standard accompaniment of old-time music is harmonically very simple, and it's beautiful in its simplicity. But I also, you know, when I don't feel constrained by trying to play so traditionally anymore, and I get with somebody like Ale, who has a jazz background, he moves the chords all over the place, and it just gives a different depth and breadth to the melodies that way.
You could hear that at the beginning of Blackberry Blossom. There was so much chromatic stuff happening underneath before you got into
I love that, yeah.
And why shouldn't it be there, you know?
Everything happens based on what happened before it, and we can appreciate all the old stuff, and I do, and I love all the source musicians and people I got to play with. But they played when they played, and we're playing when we play, and we have different things around us. We have more, certainly way more available to us. I mean, my students, if I tell them to go study something, the first thing they do is go to their computer and find 47 different versions of it.
It's actually our good teachers. A lot of young players learn a lot off the net, and it's not bad. I think we have to realize that will be one of the ways to learn things in the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, without going into a deep discussion about how people learn music, when I started to play, I wanted to play one kind of music, and it took me years to be willing to branch out. But the students that you find nowadays have had exposure to everything, so they're trying to find their way into one thing that means something to them. And the music comes out different.
Yeah, and I would think also with all of those different influences, not just finding their way in, but finding their way of taking from all of those traditions and making it something their own, not excluding,
right,
but including.
Yes, right. That's one of the big things at home, that young players in the revival movement, they have sort of said to themselves that I'm not allowed to use all the music ideas I have in my head. Playing in tradition means that I have to say no, exclude a lot of things that I've heard as a kid. That's very unnatural for a living folk tradition. A vivid tradition, of course, is willing to adopt all kinds of ideas and make a unique blend out of this. And that's what's happening now. You hear really interesting players doing their own thing, mixing what the old guys did with what their own world. And it doesn't need to come out as folk rock or bass and drum-based polskas. It might come up just like a fiddler with a really nice way of playing solo on the fiddle. So I'm quite hopeful about the future.
Well, I'm hoping we'll hear some more groundbreaking music. I mean, this is just wonderful, the mix of the two traditions that you guys bring together. I can't thank you enough for coming in and playing for us today. It has been such a pleasure to meet you both.
Oh, our pleasure.
And tell me what we're going to play out with.
This is a tune that actually, when we met, one of the first times we met, Bruce showed me this tune and said, we should play this tune. And he taught me the tune. And all of a sudden, he looked funny because I started to correct him. And he said, look, I'm teaching you this tune. And I said, yes, you are, but I actually wrote it. So it wasn't, like he thought, a traditional Norwegian tune. But a piece that I wrote together with my friend.
It was taught to me as a traditional tune, and I had asked him about it because I was trying to identify the source of it.
Oh, how funny.
And it took a while until I realized, oh, this is one I wrote together with a good friend, Mats Eden. Anyway, it's a halling. Halling is music connected to a male solo dance, often in 6/8 like this one. And the great thing about the halling music is that it uses a lot of syncopation on top of the basic rhythm. It's called the fox halling. Woo!
American fiddler Bruce Molsky and Swedish bouzouki player Ale Muller performing the fox hauling in our performance studio in March. They spoke with Bonnie North. Molsky will play and lead a series of summer school sessions at Irish Fest in Milwaukee this week. Muller's schedule didn't allow him to make it to this year's festival. That's the Monday edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I hope you can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from WUWM-FM and HD1, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay with us. Fresh air is next. Thank you.